This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Dan. And it for Amy J this morning is Charles Love. He, the co-host of Black and Right, which debuted on these airwaves on Saturday. Charles, great to have you in.
Good morning.
Yeah, you got to turn on your microphone there. And then, then they can hear you. All right, very good. All right, you're good. And so, of course, the big story over the weekend are the two shootings, El Paso and Dayton. 29 dead, more than 4 dozen injured. And this dominated the Sunday talkies, where the dominant narrative from the left was it's Trump's fault. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 64636DA, turnkey.pro text line. Here's what the president had to say. Why don't we start with him? Yesterday, he's expected to make a statement, a more comprehensive statement this morning. But with Melania, he addressed a press gaggle.
I want to extend our condolences to the people of El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. They're incredible people, and they've been through a lot. I just want to also thank the law enforcement in both places. The job they've done is incredible. I also want to congratulate them. I mean, nobody could have done what they've done. This could have been as bad as it was. It could have been so much worse. I just have to thank them. The job they've done is incredible. They were right on the ball in El Paso. They were there so quickly, and in Dayton in less than a minute. Think of the damage he did in such a short period of time. In less than a minute, the law enforcement acted and killed him. And it would have been unbelievable. It was horrible, but it would have been so much worse. It could have been so much worse. I just want to say that these are two incredible places. We love the people. Hate has no place in our country, and we're going to take care of it.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 64636DA, turnkey.pro text line. Is that good enough from the president? Certainly Democrats didn't think so. Beto O'Rourke, it was a rush to blame President Trump in the wake of the shooting. Cory Booker, I'm sure, sped to Chuck Todd so he could be on Meet the Press to blame the president. Beto O'Rourke took the opportunity with Jake Tapper to blame the president. Let's go to Bobby O first.
In addition to red flag laws, we've got to acknowledge the hatred, the open racism that we're seeing. There's an environment of it in the United States. We see it on Fox News. We see it on the internet. But we also see it from our commander in chief. And he is encouraging this. He doesn't just tolerate it. He encourages it. Calling Mexican immigrants rapists and criminals, warning of an invasion at our border, seeking to ban all people of one religion. Folks are responding to this. It doesn't just offend us. It encourages the kind of violence that we're seeing, including in my hometown of El Paso yesterday.
That's Bobby, and here's Booker.
We have a president of the United States who is particularly responsible. I, in my faith, have this idea that you reap what you sow, and he is sowing seeds of hatred in our country, and this harvest of hate violence that we're seeing right now lies at his feet. When you have the president from the highest moral office in our land talking about invasions and infestations and shithole countries, the kind of things that come out of his mouth that so harm the moral fabric of our nation, he is responsible. He's responsible when he has taken no action whatsoever to even condemn white supremacy, even when his own FBI is talking about this being sourcing major parts of our problem. So we have a president who is responsible, who is not taking that responsibility and is doing nothing to address the deepening crisis in our country of this kind of violence.
So the president is responsible, according to Booker. Bobby O took it one step further, suggesting that the president is begetting, encouraging these sorts of mass shootings, Charles.
Obviously, everybody can do better. The president can do better, just as people. But the interesting thing is you listen to the quotes from them, both Beto and Booker, and both of them, how many things did you hear that were not specifically not true in those comments? So you're making it worse when you say that he banned all people from a religion. You're making it worse when you say that he said all Mexicans this, or you're going back to this, and you're saying we reap what we sow. So whatever you think your thoughts of the president are, you're making it worse when you're playing it up, right? So you're encouraging bad behavior in more ways than he is. So I think that's really bad.
Ed in Oak Brook, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
You know what? It's just so frustrating that a lot of people just are weak, but and they shoot. But it's the Democratic policy that's encouraging invasions. It's the Democrats that brought this infestation of rats and so forth to these inner cities like Chicago and Baltimore. And I think people are just so frustrated. And you got the liberal media that's continuously bashing Americans, guys like me, just a white normal male. And it's so frustrating. And I have no love for the shooters. They were weak. But you know what? I think the Democrats should start looking at themselves, because they're the ones that are causing a lot of this friction unnecessarily.
Thanks.
Have a nice day.
Thanks for calling. It's interesting, too, the focus of this weekend on white supremacy. And, of course, that was the nexus to hold the president responsible for what happened. So you had one shooter, and we don't mention names here, the shooter in El Paso taken into custody, the shooter in Dayton killed by police. The shooter in El Paso had this manifesto. And it's fascinating, too, to listen to the D.C. press corps and the cable news anchors cite the manifesto as if this is something to be taken seriously.
Right, right.
Oh, we're supposed to kind of go through sentence by sentence, and then based on who he is saying the responsible parties are for this atrocity he committed, we're supposed to then turn around and say, well, he said you're responsible, so you're responsible. And even in this, you know, the silliness of even referencing this, but as you would expect from somebody who would commit a horrible act like that, would murder people like he did, there's all kinds of conflicts. So we're supposed to blame Trump, but we're also, but he also references corporations. You got some French white supremacist crank who wrote this book, Renaud Camus. We're supposed to blame him, and then white supremacy here. But then he also references the Lorax. So are we supposed to blame Dr. Seuss? I mean, the idea of trying to distill some logical thread from a mass murderer's manifesto is always remarkable to me.
Right. And it's also a problem because it's only on one side. So you pick through craziness to say what will help our narrative, what will say Trump looks bad. But then when a shooter does something for a different reason, they don't come out and say, look at what he said about Elizabeth Warren or whomever it may be.
Like in Dayton.
Exactly. I mean, that happened to be specific, but in any of the cases, it's like it's the shooter's fault if he doesn't reference Trump. But if he references Trump, then it's now Trump's fault.
Right. And it was fascinating to watch these interviews of the likes of T-Bone and Bobby O and Tim Ryan and so many more. Not one of them asked, well, based on the standard that you're applying to Trump, then is Bernie Sanders and anybody who self-identifies as a socialist, are they the responsible party for Dayton? Because, among other things, the Dayton shooter, I want socialism, and I'll not wait for the idiots to finally come around to understanding.
Right.
And so if we're going to, you know, pour over every utterance of the El Paso shooter's manifesto and then assign blame based on that, then should we not do the same in Dayton? I mean, it is insanity. What's the difference between Dayton and El Paso? Body count? So we should treat one more seriously than the other, focus our attention more on one than the other? Bill in the North Suburbs, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. You know, how many people died over the weekend in those two shootings? Was it 29 or did it go up?
29.
What did Obama do, giving the Iranians $150 billion dollars on pallets? They want to kill all of us.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bill. Lee and Hammond.
Yeah, hi, guys. You know, the thing about the Democrats, they politicize everything. They wouldn't allow Fox News in on the debates because they say Fox News is hateful. But at the same time, they refuse to acknowledge some of the stupid things Obama supposedly said, like the police acted stupidly or hands up, don't shoot. They refuse to look at that. It's all one-sided. It's all hypocrisy on their side. And for them to stand on some kind of moral high ground that they're a better people than the people on the right, they're just playing to the mopes that come out to vote that vote Democratic. That's all they're doing is playing to their base on this. They're the ones that politicize this.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Thanks for the call. I get it. Yeah, I mean, the whole issue, too, of Jake Tapper had this exchange with Bobby that we'll get to. We're talking like, you know, the standards here. The standards are different because the shooter in El Paso, that was their focus, of course, is white and white supremacist, as compared to if the shooter had been an Islamist, an Islamofascist. Are they? I seem to recall talking about, say, the Orlando nightclub shooting and applying the same standard to the poisonous ideology of Islamofascism as we would apply, in this case, to the poisonous ideology of white supremacy. I seem to recall that on this show, we have no problem identifying evil when it rears its ugly head. And I recall the left had a very difficult time doing that in those previous cases under the Obama administration, when you had acts of domestic terrorism committed in the name of Islam.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, I mean, we look at from the macro, and we just take the greater look at it. The problem is that we all at least say that we want a solution. We want to say, what can we do? But then we spend hours and days saying, whose fault is it? What did the guy write when he was in elementary school? So you're focusing on the wrong thing. So I don't take any of them seriously if that's what they want to say. If they want to talk about, you know, based on their logic, then Jodie Foster shot Reagan.
Yeah, right.
More of Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy comes your way now. And make sure to join me, Sebastian Gorka, tonight at 10.
Top of the morning, Dan, and in for Amy J. This morning is Charles Love. He is the co-host of Black and Right. Saturday is 1 p.m. on our airwaves here. Just launched this past weekend, and pretty good start grabbing Shelby Steele. You co-host with John Anthony, former state representative. Charles?
I think the show went well for the start, and we're hoping to bring a different voice to conservatism here and talk about some issues that a lot of people don't talk about.
For those who don't know, both Charles and John Anthony are African-American.
Don't say that. Unhyphenated.
You're black. You're Americans.
Yes.
You're black. Okay, fine. However you choose. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, it's like with Shelby Steele. We both went to this event that Shelby Steele talk he gave up on the North Shore. And it's like he doesn't even know. What he's, he went through the iteration of everything he's been termed in his life, and now he's supposed to be a person of color.
Yeah, went back to color again.
And he rejects that, yeah, for all kinds of, obvious reasons of how dehumanizing it is. But anyway, just the idea of getting black conservative perspective on some of the issues of the day, both state and local, as well as federal, in this 2020 election cycle that is in full swing. It's great timing for this show, and look forward to your continued success there.
Thank you.
You're setting the bar high when you have Shelby Steele right out of the gate.
I know.
Great. All right, so we're talking about these shootings over the weekend, both in Dayton and El Paso, of course, and the political blame game that was in full effect over the weekend. You've heard from T-Bone Booker. We played a little Bobby O. Tim Ryan, he had this to say.
You cannot connect... You cannot not connect the president of the United States and his rhetoric. I read that manifesto this morning a couple of times, and the language in there is so similar to the kind of language that you hear at a Trump rally, you see in his tweets. And the president isn't just speaking to, really smart people who are stable at his rallies. He's speaking to the lowest common denominator, to where this jackass gets in a car and drives 10 hours to go kill Latinos and Hispanics and Mexicans, mostly Mexicans. I mean, he's creating a culture and an environment in which this stuff keeps happening.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Tim Ryan, one of the Dem presidential aspirants, he was on with Jake Tapper, as was Bobby O, Cory Booker on Meet the Press, saying the president is, in no uncertain terms, the president is responsible for the El Paso shooting, because that's what they were sort of singularly focused on, even though you had this shooting that was happening in real time on Sunday in Dayton. And then you had a response. You heard President Trump's statement on the tarmac as he and Melania were traveling. He will be offering a statement this morning. Mick Mulvaney, his acting chief of staff, went on Meet the Press to respond to the assertions by Cory Booker, amplified by Chuck Todd, that the president is responsible. Bobby O'Rourke taking it further and saying, not only is he responsible, he's actually encouraging mass shootings by white supremacists. Mick Mulvaney.
I don't accept the fact that the president's rhetoric has been a contributing factor at all.
I blame the people who pulled the trigger, Chuck. Goodness gracious, are you really, is someone really blaming the president? These people are sick. And until we address why people think this way, this young man, by the way, and let's say this, be clear, we know nothing about the shooter in Dayton, so we're talking now about the shooter in El Paso.
We're talking about the El Paso shooter, sir.
That's exactly right. This was a sick person. You can go and read the things that the person wrote, by the way, now available to the world on social media, making the person famous. By the way, if you do read that, what you say, he's felt this way for a long time, from even before President Trump got elected. So, but again, why aren't we trying to figure out a way to bring the nation together this morning?
Well, that's my question
saying,
for you.
You know
what is the president
it's
doing?
It's the president's fault.
But in fairness, Mr. Mulvaney, the president has spent the last month on Twitter stoking racial resentment in different ways. And you can try to rationalize that he was speaking about specific incidents, but taken together, these sick people, as you're describing, they hear what they want to hear. Does the president not have a responsibility to speak with a higher moral clarity when it comes to violence, a higher moral clarity when it comes to refugees?
Right. Chuck, let me put it to you this way. Even if he did speak the way that you want him to speak, and I get the fact that some people don't approve of the verbiage the president uses. I get that, all right? But even if they did, your point that you just made is absolutely right. People are going to hear what they want to hear. My guess is this guy's in that parking lot in El Paso, Texas, in that Walmart doing this, even if Hillary Clinton is president. In fact, he'd probably go out and blame Hillary Clinton for doing it. These are crazy people, sick people. And until we figure out why we're creating this many people like this in this culture, why we're giving them such wide sort of audiences on social media, why we're making weapons available to them when they probably shouldn't get them. Let's talk about background checks, something we've worked on in this administration. Those are the conversations to have, not giving Cory Booker a chance to run for president this morning by blaming Donald Trump. That's really disappointing.
Wow. There was a lot to unpack there, but what caught my ear was the piece about racial resentment. So I find that interesting. Talk about that a lot, about white liberals telling me how I should be offended. So I don't feel resented, by the way, but apparently he knows that we all do. And the piece about hearing what they want to hear. So if they hear what they want to hear, does it really matter what you say?
Well, right. And I go back to something Tim Ryan said. You know, the rhetoric that the El Paso shooter used is very similar to the stuff that you hear at a Trump rally. The ICE bomber in Washington State, he quoted AOC. I mean, the congressional baseball game shooter was a Bernie bro, right? Mm-hmm. So, are we supposed to then parse the words of AOC and Bernie Sanders to match them up to the views or statements made by other violent criminals and say, well, that there you go. There's the connect. So Bernie's responsible for the baseball shooting and AOC is responsible for the ice bombing and just continue. And Elizabeth Warren, socialism, the Dayton shooter mentioned wanting to vote for Elizabeth Warren, pro-Satanist. Mm-hmm. That is to blame for. So we need to talk about Satanism now and whether or not we need to have a task force that's directly focused on people who identify as Satanists.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other piece, they talk about the rhetoric. So if the rhetoric is bad, don't you have to put some focus on the fact that they keep whatever Trump says or anything that they disagree, they keep it in the media for so long. So you give it such long legs. So everybody, people who don't pay attention to the news now even hear it, right? Because they just keep honing on it. Keep
right.
Talking about it.
Yeah, you have a majority of Americans who think the president is racist. And why is, in part, is that? Because you have the D.C. press corps in unison on a daily basis, rinse and repeat that he's racist, spend their entire broadcasting day heaping moral scorn on the president. As you were mentioning, rinsing and repeating the tweet du jour or the utterance from a rally du jour. and this is proof. This is proof. He's a racist. He's a racist. He's a racist over and over and over again. And so you, I guess, persuade some people. It's interesting. You don't persuade them in total. I mean, it's like I go along because I don't want to be called a racist. So I guess so because they say so and everybody seems to say so. And but, of course, what's represented on television and in print isn't everybody, as they found out in 2016. But, yeah, the moral quagmire that the D.C. press corps is in on all of these related issues is really something to behold. And they think that continuing to try to put this at the doorstep, that our cultural dysfunctions at the doorstep of President Trump, somehow absolves them, misdirects responsibility away from them. And I'm not sure that they're convincing anybody on that score. Michael in Lake Forest, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
At least in the case of the Dayton shooter, because the people who were in high school with him recalled him being pulled off a bus by police and out of school for a year, mm-hmm. It seems like a giant thing is missing from background checks. And, you know, there's controversy as to whether it should be open or not. But certainly if the juvenile record were open on a background check, the Dayton shooter would have trouble getting a weapon legally. And it may well apply to the El Paso shooter, too. We don't know.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Michael. That's right. I mean, look, in these how many of these, unfortunately, have we had to go through? In many of these situations, what have we had? We have laws in place, and there was a failure to enforce. We have human beings in positions of authority that saw things, and there was a failure to exercise good judgment. Parkland. The Orlando nightclub shooter had been on the FBI's radar. The Boston bombers had been on the FBI's radar. I'm not assigning blame to the FBI per se, but there were certainly another law was not what was lacking in terms of prevention. And, you know, there needs to be, you know, that needs to be confronted. It was fascinating to me in Dayton. There was a vigil after the shooting. And Governor DeWine was speaking, and this was a chant that broke out among, it's being way overreported, it was among a handful of people, and there were thousands of people there, at least it appeared. But this is the chant that broke out.
Do something! Do something! Do something! Do something! Do something!
Do something. Could you be more specific? Right?
Right.
I mean, honestly, if you want to have an adult conversation about how to deal with a real adult problem, and that is poisonous ideologies that people use as some sort of sick rationalization to harm or kill other people, then doing something is not exactly the level of analysis that's required here. There's something else, too. We talked about it last week. I mean, a week ago Monday, we were talking about the shooting at the Gilroy Garlic Festival in California, right? And what did the shooter say? He was asked while he was shooting, why are you doing this? And his response allegedly, because I'm really angry. There's something there that needs to be explored about the psyche of some of these people. And in addition to that, there needs to be a conversation about agency. As we're trying to, I've not once blamed Bernie Sanders for the baseball game shooting. I'm saying this is the logic that's being employed by the left. It's a disingenuous and fallacious. But agency. You know how the welfare state has grown? You know how people have become dependent for generations? Agency has been removed from them by the government. You're not responsible. Not only are you not responsible, we're not going to let you be responsible, or we're certainly going to incentivize you to be irresponsible. And you remove agency from a human being, suggest that, you know, it's the village's fault, then you really open up a Pandora's box, which we have opened up on many fronts. And this is another one of them, it seems to me, the way that the sort of elites on cable news are talking about these terrible shootings. Mike on the South Side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, gentlemen. Pretty much talking about what you just said about agency, there's actually a new group of individuals, radicalized males that they're starting to study and who are really showing up to be the ones that are causing a lot of these mass shootings. This new incel male, or
right,
this involuntarily celibate, mm-hmm, basement dwelling first person shooter game mama's boys who are just having absolutely no ability to integrate into society and are just blaming everybody for their problems. But the Gateway, or not the Gateway Pundit, but Glenn Reynolds, he was talking about, or he had an article about this, where they're studying them, and there's psychologists who are starting to say, these are the people. It's no different than the radicalization of individual male Muslims who had caused problems. It's males who are being radicalized for a purpose, and that's what we have to really worry about.
Thanks for the call, Mike. It's a fair point. And I mean, look, this website and this 8chan where this El Paso shooter's manifesto was posted. I mean, to me, that's the sort of those things that there should be law enforcement monitoring and or people in those forums, just as if you had somebody, and we've seen this happen several times now, somebody posts something on social media that is of a threatening, violent nature. I'm going to go to school and do this. I'm going to go to this place and do the mall and do that. And people have reported those sorts of postings on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. You know, there needs to be more of that, too. You start to see a profile or a pattern that raises suspicion, then, you know, report suspicious statements and or conduct. Now, again, too, the Dayton shooting, you had the shooter's sister and her boyfriend killed. They were among the nine that were killed. So, again, they don't have a motive there yet. They just have sort of the readily accessible Google search history on this shooter. But yeah, the we don't know, and so we try to report things as they become available rather than just, you know, wild speculation. That's the province of Chuck Todd. Carl on the South Side.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, what it boils down to is you got the full spectrum. You got, you call mentally ill, nutbag, whatever you want, or evil. One was for Elizabeth Warren, one was for Trump. And you're not going to stop this. That's the bottom line. Yeah, you can hear from the politicians the lies that, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. These people, it's five or six a year. Yeah, that's way too many. But in reality, you're looking for a piece of salt, one little salt kernel in a haystack. You're not going to ever stop it. Thankfully, it is as small as it is.
Thanks for the call, Carl. Bob in Buffalo Grove.
Yeah, thanks, Dan and Charles, for taking my call. Your previous caller broached on something. Let me just offer, every month we have a mass shooting in Chicago. When you add up everybody that dies,
how about weekend?
It's probably 40 people at more, and nobody talks about that. They just pass, you know, it's just commonplace. And then, so let me throw out two other words. Antifa and Andy Nigg.
Andy No, right. Thanks for the call, Bob. Andy No, who's nobody has been arrested for beating up Andy No on the streets of Portland with respect to Antifa. But, Charles, we were talking about that on the brink this weekend. What are the numbers for Chicago violence?
I think it's 53 shots, 7 killed, total of 60.
And that generated, you know, this is bad statement from the police chief.
Yeah, he said, so we got to do something. I don't know what. And some of them were mass shootings. Keep in mind, we had two shootings of 7 people.
Right. And there was one just the other week at Fullerton and the Lakefront.
Right, right.
Right. We talked about that on this show, too. So, mm-hmm. See, yeah, so what about that in urban centers? What about 53 shot and 7 killed? 9 shot. I mean, I this is not like a competition. But, I mean, we have 9 shot and 24 injured in Dayton in one event. And it's horrific because it's crowded and you have you just have mass carnage in a concentrated area. But so how is, I mean, in terms of morally, in terms of a problem to be solved, something to devote our attention to, how do you talk about that and not talk about 7 and 53 in Chicago over a weekend?
Right, right. On a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
You've made the switch. and it feels so good. You switch to Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Some call me the sage from South Central. Others call me the czar of common sense. But you can call me Larry Elder. And you're invited to join me tonight, starting at 7, right here on AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan, and in for Amy J this morning is Charles L., as in Love. Charles Love, he is the co-host of Black and Right, along with former state representative John Anthony, that just launched this past Saturday. And you can hear every Saturday at 1 p.m. Happy to have you along, Charles.
Thanks for having me.
And he's a business professional in his daily life outside of radio, mm-hmm. unlike me, who just talks on the radio and then goes to play golf. So you've got a day job too. Now here's the thing. I want to switch gears. We'll get back to the fallout from the shootings over the weekend. Previewing President's remarks at 9 a.m. I believe our time. To his comments on the shooting, in addition to what he offered sort of off the cuff over the weekend. But on Friday, there was some relatively big news in Illinois politics. The indictment of a sitting state senator who happens to be a cousin of the Senate president, who happens to be somebody who served in Springfield since Illinois was incorporated in 1818. That's John Cullerton. His cousin, Tom Cullerton, indicted on dozens of federal counts of corruption, of public corruption. But the top line is ghost payroller for the Teamsters to the tune of some $250,000. And this it was very interesting because it was shortly after John Coley, the former Teamsters boss, pled out to corruption charges of his own in exchange for agreeing to cooperate with the feds, the first guy he rats out is Tom Cullerton, the sitting state senator from Eastern DuPage County. Way to go, Eastern DuPage County. Although I'll tell you what, the Republicans haven't given you much of a choice there. It's a pretty this is also an indictment of the Republican Party in a political sense, not in a legal sense, but we'll get to that. And so there's a lot of, borderline enthusiasm for developments like this, like for perhaps 219 South Dearborn, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Illinois, is really going to do what the electorate refuses to do, what the Republican Party is incapable and uninterested in doing, which is to clean up this state. How did you interpret Tom Cullerton's indictment and what it may portend for our future here, Charles?
Well, really, I just got to say, it's good to know that his ghost job had benefits.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well gold plate it.
Exactly.
Don't scrimp on it. I mean, come on.
Well, I was quickly say this. What state has the most levels of government? Right. That's us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what you get. I mean, what do you expect to get? You throw that kind of money around. It's human nature. So, of course, you're going to get some stuff like this. So I think it's not a party. Like you said, it's not a party thing. It's you infuse all this money and all these programs. And there's always someone skimming. So it's no shocker.
No, it's not a shocker. The only shocker is the indictment, I guess, or the, mm-hmm. the pleasant surprise, if you will. here, my favorite part about this, the august state senator Tom Cullerton was doing prior to becoming an august state senator.
No, what was he doing?
He was delivering pastries.
Huh.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a truck driver, a delivery driver. But I'll tell you what, he was delivering pastries before he was a state senator. And now he's going to put on a suit and we're all supposed to genuflect him before him. That literally is the culture here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, it's remarkable. I'll tell you what, Eastern DuPage County, where he represented. The Bloomingdales and the Addisons and the Villa Parks of the world. What do you think, Eastern DuPage? How do you like your state senator? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 646-36DA, turnkey.pro text line. And, Republican Party? I know to the extent it exists, but those who identify as Republicans, pretend they're Republicans, like, those with the leadership titles in the Republican Party, including in DuPage County. How do you like the fact that you couldn't beat this guy three times in eastern DuPage County? How have things been going in DuPage County of late? I remember when George Ryan ran for office, ran for governor in 1998. You know what percentage of the vote he got in DuPage County? 71%. We haven't had a Republican presidential candidate win DuPage County in three cycles, three presidential cycles. You've got Democrat Socialists on the DuPage County board now. You got, obviously, Democrat Socialist legislators throughout DuPage County now, not just eastern DuPage. How's it going? Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? I don't know. I mean, maybe it has something to do with the Republican Party in the state being the most cowardly and compromised iteration of a state Republican Party in the country. And Tom Cullerton provides a great opportunity to enter into evidence some exhibits to support my argument. Happy birthday last night to Illinois State Senator Tom Cullerton. Great dad. Funny as heck Irish guy who wants to get things done in Springfield. That's a Facebook post from former Illinois Republican Party Chairman Pat Brady.
Oh, I was going to guess Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, well, a distinction without a difference. There are many more. Pat Brady, Republican Party Chairman, who became just, you know, lobbyist, a contract lobbyist for whoever will pay him for whatever purpose. Facebook post after Facebook post praising Tom Cullerton. Meanwhile, the actual Republican Party was spending, over the last three cycles, millions of dollars backing, or at least the last two cycles, Seth Lewis and Carol Pankow before Seth Lewis in races against him. So it's just all show, right? The state party, those Ronnerites that are still in charge of the party, they're doing such a bang-up job. What do they think about that? Hey, Chicago Press Corps, did you run to Pat Brady for a comment on his buddy Tom Cullerton's indictment? Great guy that he is, great legislator, getting things done in Springfield. Because I know you run to him for comments when it's about conservatives so that he can take shots at conservatives. And like that, you know, dopey doughboy on WGN, Steve Cochran, who uses Pat Brady as some sort of analyst. Are you kidding? That guy couldn't find his ass with both hands, and he doesn't know a huckster when he sees one. And that's what Pat Brady is. Huckster for a dollar. Yeah, my buddy Tom Cullerton. It's all one big happy political ruling class.
Well, Illinois is not D or R, it's P, right? It's the real party is power. You know, what gets me paid and what gives me power, and, you know, everybody just keeps capitulating.
What's your experience with the Republican Party? You are one, sort of.
You got to label me, man.
Well, I mean, I know exactly. You probably don't want to wear that label, but, I mean, you're obviously philosophically conservative.
Yep,
you're
in
Chicago. And so, you know, what's your experience been? You're, you know, you got some gray in that beard. You've been around for a minute.
You put me on the spot. I would say the experience has been, sombering. I think there's enough people out there who care about what's going on in Illinois, but it's a combination of they've been seeing it go the wrong way long enough that they're moving. There's been no action, so they don't do anything. And then, like you say, they're afraid. It's like, I don't know if they're cowardly or afraid, but I think that, I've been here 2 years.
Sides of the same coin, aren't they?
Right, but I've been here 10 years, and I've been, you know, reaching out to every conservative I can find since I've been here. And, you know, they all say, what you want to do makes sense. You know, I want to take conservatism to people I think understand it, and they would, you know, be open to it if they heard it. And they're like, man, that's just so hard. Well, you want me to go down there to places with people who don't normally hear what we're saying and talk to them? It's so exhausting. But what else are you going to do? But seed ground.
Yeah, you know, hey, you got to just sidle up to your friends across the aisle and just, you know, make sure everybody gets cut in a little bit. And then it's fine. I mean, that, you know, if the state burns down and the people flee it like it is on fire, you know, as long as we're having a good time, like former Illinois Republican Party Chairman Pat Brady and his good friend Senator Tom Cullerton. Good to see Senator Tom Cullerton at the Dan Cronin event tonight. Sure. Why wouldn't he be welcome at Dan Cronin's event? Former state senator, DuPage County chairman, who believes that someday he's going to be governor through the Daley family and the Irish Democrats in the city. That's what he's always believed. Yeah, good time. Tom Cullerton at the Dan Cronin event, Pat Brady says. Tom Cullerton, great public servant and really good guy. Everybody's a good guy. A good fella, to borrow a Scorsese-ism. Aren't they? Yeah, he's a good fella. Great public servant, Tom Cullerton. Now under federal indictment for ghost payrolling, among other crimes. After he turned into this great public servant, when he decided, you know, he had delivered enough pastries.
How good were the pastries, though? They must have been darn good.
Hostess.
Oh, well, see?
I mean, boy, he knows something about being a ding-dong, I guess. Larry and Bartlett, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Dan, several years ago I called you mentioning that I had been an election judge for 6 years, and all the new people coming into the district, they're all coming out of Chicago, they're all coming out of Cook County, and they're all registering as Democrats. So you shouldn't be surprised that Northeast DuPage, and I'll guarantee you Southwest DuPage, is going to get even worse.
Yeah, but that's Larry, that's a slight part of the problem. What's the real?
I agree with you. I mean, I think we have 4 Republicans left in Illinois. You, me, and got to be 2 other guys.
Yeah, Charles here. I mean, he doesn't want to broadcast
okay,
that.
Okay, maybe one more guy I'll call.
But no, I mean,
have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Larry. But I mean, the Republican Party gave up the culture of being a Republican Party, and so yeah, so you had Democrats in the suburbs, and Democrats moving to the suburbs are happy to grab those seats and aggrandize that power that they otherwise enjoy in Springfield. Why not? I'll put my idiot cousin in a state senator, says John Cullerton. Yeah, why not? That's a way to incur into DuPage County, because it's a Republican Party, like just the state in general, that's tried everything, every big government gambit, and the Republicans have gone along. That's why I say it's not just cowardice, it's also being compromised, because you're cut in, so you play that game. Everything but conservatism.
But you got to look at the people. He said that people move from Chicago to these areas. Okay, let's say that's a bigger part than you may say it is. But you have to ask why. So they left Chicago for a reason. So they had to be something about the policies and the way
schools.
Chicago was being run, right? The schools are important, of course.
Yeah.
But you leave there and you go somewhere else, and there's no one there to give you any options. So we have it on both ends. As a black guy, I can tell you. So on one end, you got people move to the suburbs for better schools and a better life and to get away from, you know, the things in the city. And the Republicans aren't there to say, this is why you should not stay a Democrat if you were a Democrat.
Right.
Then on the other end, we have people on the south and west side of Chicago who are open to, who have conservative core values. And then nobody even goes there. I mean, you talk about the Republicans saying, well, they're all Democrat and nobody pulls a Republican ballot. Why? There's nobody on the ballot. So even if you're a Republican living on the South Shore, you have to pull a Democrat ballot because it's between the Democrat and the Democrat.
Well,
nobody's,
I mean,
on the ballot.
Charles, I mean, we don't want to upset anybody on the Southwest side. They're all good guys. They're good public
good
servants. Yeah. I mean, why be so, you know, obstreperous? Just let things be. We can get along with them. You know, we got to work in a bipartisan fashion.
But there's one partisan. It's bipartisan, but there's only one side.
Well, right, but I'm not really, you know, I don't care about being a Republican.
Right.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, sure, gas tax? Sure, why not? 32% increase in the income tax? Sure, I'll go along with that, no problem. Junk science on gender? Okay. You know, I'm not an ideologue. I'm not crazy over here. I'll go along with whatever the cultural mavens in Chicago want. Sure. And that's how you get this state. Phil in Deerfield.
You know, I'm going to actually change up a little bit here, Dan. Sorry on you. But, guys, I think why you have it is the people want they move out of Cook County, but they still want all the same goodies that they had. So they don't realize the tax. I was in Nevada for a while. they're feeling that totally. I think Indiana's starting to, I talk to people from Indiana, they're starting to feel it. The people come from California to Nevada because they want the lower taxes, but then they want all the stuff they had. Well, in order to get all the stuff you had, you got to have the taxes that you had in California. To get all the stuff you had in DuPage County, you got to get all the taxes you had in Cook County.
Yeah.
So that logic isn't crossing.
Yeah, that's part. I mean, thanks for the call. There's something to that, but I don't think that's center cut. You don't have anybody making an argument. You have nobody making an argument for small government and big individual, for free minds and free markets. You have everybody who has a leadership title in the Republican Party, none of whom are leaders, and it's been that way for generations, starting from the premises of the left. So then we're just arguing, you know, to borrow from Churchill, then we're just arguing about price, aren't we? The price that these legislators sell themselves for. Cut Brady in on the video gaming. He flips on video gaming. Now he's a proponent. Opponent becomes proponent. Cut me in or cut it out. That's the culture here. Everybody in both parties is, not everybody in both parties, but the sort of power structure of both parties, to the extent that GOP even has a power structure anymore, has bought into it. And so they're cut in, you're cut out, and you're on your way out. That's how that works. And you have the worst governed state in the history of America. But everybody's a good guy, though.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.